Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We have two parshiot today, Matot and Mas'ei. Matot, and we're finishing, by the way, the book of Bamidbar, and next week it's going to be Dvarim. And we also, in before Rosh Chodesh Av, the 3 weeks, and Tisha B'Av, the time of the destruction of our temple, which we are mourning on. And just to clarify an important point, a lot of people think we are mourning about something that was and will never come back. And exactly that's the opposite. We are mourning about what we haven't got, but it will come back. And it depends...
The temple.
The third temple. In other words, it's not about something that was and is not going to come back. It's not somebody who died and that's it. We're talking about something that is a part of our nation, something that is a part of our daily life, and we are missing it. And in order to understand that we miss it in the right proportion and the right point of view, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ra'ui lekol yerei shamayim, a fearing God that should mourn on the Yerushalayim, on the temple." And everybody is asking, well, what does it mean, fearing God? What, cannot a normal guy mourn on the destruction? What's the problem? The problem is very simple, because what we are waiting on the redemption, on the Geula, is not that we can drive beautiful cars and have beautiful homes and beautiful clothes and beautiful food. We are mourning about or missing the temple, spiritual part of it. And in order to understand that, you need the fear of God. Because if you haven't got the fear of God, you don't realize and understand what it's all about. Nevertheless, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a beautiful car and beautiful clothes and beautiful food. That's no problem. But the point is, what is the main thing and what is the less important? What is the important part and what is less important? And unfortunately in life, a lot of times we put the important stuff and at the side, and we take the not important stuff and put it on top. And that's the problem. That's what we have to learn to do in the right way. Our parsha begins, "Vaydaber Hashem el Rashei Hamatot Divnei Yisrael." It talks to the heads of the people of Am Yisrael. Tell them, "Ze hadavar asher diber tzivah Hashem." That's the thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu ordered. Ishki dor neta. We're talking here about vows, about you promise something, you have to keep it. So the first thing is, the Torah is telling us, lo yachel dvaro kechol yatzim pi yosef. You should not go back on your words. Whatever you promised, you should keep. And then we have a whole episode about if a daughter is taking on herself something not to do, or a wife that the husband can counsel it and threaten. But the idea is, you have to understand, always, as we say, it's not a story about a man, a husband and a wife, or a father and a daughter. It's what's going on inside us. It's really a story about what you should and what you shouldn't do. Because, you know, if somebody takes a vow on a very good things, so the husband or the father cannot counsel it. They can only cancel something that is going to disturb them. In other words, if the wife, for example, decides, "I'm not going to put any more makeup." So the husband can tell, "I'm sorry, I don't agree with this, and I cancel this vow you put on yourself, because you will look ugly. I want you to look beautiful. And if it disturbs me, you have to do it." Or the wife decides that she's not going to cook any more meals, or she's not going to eat something. So he says, "Well, sorry, if you're not going to eat, it's going to harm you, but it's going to harm me also, because you will be ill and I will have to take care of you." So again, whatever, Scott, you involved in your decision, somebody else is going to be affected by it, this is a wrong thing to do. In other words, don't be a tzaddik on the account of the others. That's the basic thing of what you're talking about here. Because, you know, a lot of times I'm going to do this. For example, this guy decides every morning he's going to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and he's going to learn. But while he's doing it, he's waking up the whole house.
That's terrible.
Does, Is this a mitzvah?
No.
That's not a mitzvah. So in other words, you cannot be a tzaddik on the account of somebody else. You can be a tzaddik on the account of yourself. You cannot decide for other people. And if you do something that's going to affect other people, you have to take in consideration. And this is one side of the point of the power of speech. The power of speech is, let's say, the main power that we have. In Bereshit, when it's written, says the Onkelos, it's the power of speech. The Ruach Memalela. The spirit of speech. That's the power that makes us human beings different from animals. So you have to use it in the right way. So if you promise something, keep it. For example, one of the questions is, it looks like Vaydaber Moshe el Rashi HaMatot, that he talks only to the top people, to the
leaders,
and not Libne Israel, it's not exactly to Am Israel. So, and you can understand it that he's talking to them and to them, and you can understand that he's talking only to them, and maybe they have to tell something to the other people. So what's the idea behind it? There are a lot of explanations. But one of the explanations is, you know, the leaders before election, especially now if you have election for the area, they're all promising and promising and promising and promising. So what is God telling them? You promise, you deliver. You have to keep your words. Don't promise and you don't keep the words. That's why he's telling them, first of all, to the leaders. Now there is another thing. It's quite easy. If you take a vow on yourself, for example, I'm going to do this and that, and now, because of you took a vow on yourself, you have to do it. That's a neder. So, can you cancel the neder? Can you find a way to undo the neder?
They said, I have a problem. The father can undo it and the son, but not...
No, the father and the husband, but this is l'affair. He can cancel it completely. But there is also, let's say I did something, is there a possibility to regret it or to change it? L'affair is one-sided. The father or the husband decides, that's cancelled. Here we're talking about from my side. Can I do something? You know, I took on myself something and I cannot do it. Or it's very hard for me to do it. Is there a way to get out of it?
Is there?
Yes. Atarat nedarim. What we do on Yom Kippur every year, yeah, we start the davening of Yom Kippur, Kol Nidrei Ve'esarei. So we see, first of all, how important it is that Yom Kippur starts with Kol Nidrei. So because before you stand in front of God, you have to be cleared from all the sins. And one of the basic things, you promised things you didn't keep, so you have to do this first before you stand in front of God. Do Atarat Nedarim. Now, during the year, can I do Atarat Nedarim? Yes. I just put three people in front of me and I tell them, you know, I had this vow I took on myself and I'm asking you to do Atarat Nedarim for me, to undo it. So they ask you, if you would have known what's going to happen or whatever, they look for a way for you to, let's say, that was something that you didn't think about, and if you would have thought about it at the time you took the vow on yourself, you wouldn't do it. And if you find something like this, they cancel the vow. This sounds very easy. And it is very easy. In other words, the Torah from one side tells us you should keep your words. And from the other side, the Torah tells us it's very easy to undo what you promised. So what's going on here? So this is one of the reasons that another explanation says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is talking only to the leaders. To the leaders is telling them there is a very easy way to get out of somebody, of something that you took on yourself. But you don't tell it to the people, because otherwise people will just use the words with no meaning, promises with no intention to keep them. Oh, what's the problem? Oh, I'm going to do this. So, okay, I'm going to take three people and I ask them to undo what I did, and it's all okay. And it's a very interesting. So why is the Torah doing it so easy for us? From one side, and one for the other side, they're telling us not to do it. In other words, they tell us, you should keep your words. And from the other side, it makes it very easy for us to cancel what we did. What do you think? Is it because it's very important, or is it because it's not important?
Because it's very important.
It's so important that if you don't keep your vow, the Torah gives you a way out, a very easy way out. Why? Because if you don't have the way out, you are doomed. You are finished. Let's say somebody took on himself, without thinking too much, I'm going to do the whole book of Tehillim twice a day. It's very easy to say.
Impossible.
Then it starts to saying the whole, says, whoa, 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 it's not ending. Oh, and I have to do it again today? Wow, it's impossible. Why did I took it on myself? And he did a vow. Now he has to keep it. Because it says, lo yachel varo, you promised, you should keep it. So what can he do now? It's impossible to keep it.
How do you choose the three people that this?
They can, three adults that are of the age of 13. And by the way, if there is one, a rabbi, what is called, let's say, Bet Din Mumche, Ben Adam Mumche, he by himself can do it. For example, if you go to the Rav Peretz, he is the Rav of the town, and he doesn't need two people with him, he by himself can do it. But normal people, you need three. But three adults over the age of 13, that men that can do the they are betting. That's a betting. Three people. Shloshesre, 13. In other words, that's a betting already. So it's quite easy to do it. But now we understand why the Torah is not telling us. See, the Torah is not telling us clearly that it's very easy. They're talking about a husband and a father that you can cancel the vow, but they don't talk directly about the way that we are talking about now, which is everybody can really find a very easy way to get out of somebody something he promised. Because you have to understand, if you promise something, you should keep it. You keep your mouth. Whatever you take out of your mouth, you should be careful. And if you said something, you have to stand behind it. But let's say I did a mistake. So the Torah gives you an easy way out. But it doesn't mean that you can take this easy way. You take this easy way only if it's something that you cannot keep. Because otherwise, don't promise and don't go and cancel what you promised. That's why, if we want to do something good, do something small. Promise God something small. Like we took the example of a book of Tehillim. Said, every day I'm going to do one psalm of Tehillim. Okay, this everybody can do it. And God loves this, because God loves somebody who promises something and does it. That's why you are about canceling a shiur. God loves something that goes constantly, all the time. So if every Tuesday morning we meet for a shiur, this is something very important. You don't cancel it just like this. So if somebody else is asking me to give a shiur somewhere else, I'm telling I'm very sorry. I've got something that is a kavua, that is constantly going on. And this is what God loves. Because otherwise, everything we decide, we're going every day, we're going to do something else. Okay, wow, this is good. Okay, I do this. Okay, I do this. God wants us to have a schedule. Because the first thing in life, not only in spiritual life, if you have order in your life, if you have things that going on a schedule, life are much easier and going good. That's because the physical world is connected to the spiritual world. And the same way God wants us to act in the spiritual way. So you know what? If you promise something to God, you should keep it. So before you promise, think, can I keep it? Or can I not? And if you can, do it. Now, suddenly something happens and you cannot keep it anymore. Who knows what? Things can happen. Then you have a way out. But don't think for a minute, because the way out looks easy, that it means that what you say is not important. It's the asset of human being, the power of speech. And we know how important it is, the power of speech. If you remember, I showed you a thing last year about this guy he's buried in Petah Tikva in the graveyard, that he said, I've got here in the picture, on the stone, there, this is the stone of the guy. The guy said they were, Petah Tikva was the first settlement, the first Moshava in Eretz Israel. And when they built it, there was no Beth Almin. There was no cemetery. And they were thinking what to do. And this guy says, they decided on a Sgula, where it is today. And this guy said, I'm willing to be the first one to be buried in the Bet Kfarot of Petah Tikva. He was the first one. 10 days later, he died. And it's written on his stone that the guy came. Yachad ibn Roy was standing with the people that settled here in Moshavteinu, in our settlement, and he said 10 days before he died, when he was well and healthy, no problem once and all, and he said that he wouldn't mind to be the first one in this Beth Farot. And 10 days later he died. So we have to be very careful what we say. It's very important. We don't even understand the power of speech. And this is exactly what the Torah is telling in Parashat Matot, to tell us about the power of speech, that is an unbelievable power. It's not. It's more than a punishment. It's you say, be careful what you say. That's why one of the explanations of lo yachel dvaro, yachel is in Hebrew chulin. Chulin is chol. What is chol? Yom chol, the weekday. Or if I compare Shabbos to Yom Chol, we say that Shabbos is holy, and Yom Chol is simple. It's not holy. It's normal. So it says lo yachel dvaro is lo yechalel dvaro, or in other words, you shouldn't. Your power. We have a power of speech, and the power of a Jew is the power of davening, the power to pray to God, to talk with God. So it's a holy power. So you should use holy power in what way?
In the right way.
In the right way. That's lo yachel dvaro. Like in Shabbos, you keep yourself high on a higher level. That's the way you should act with your power of speech. Keep it on a high level. Don't make it like sometimes the streets. And you know, one of the, I mean, I used to have, I do also today, but especially with Americans, like they talk in a way, every third word is a curse or whatever. I'm not going to go into it. We all know it. It's really disgusting, you know. So somebody who's not used to it, he cannot believe what he hears. But those who are used to it, what happens? Okay, they go on with this. And that's again, you are Jewish, you have the power of speech. This is the way to talk. This is the way to use a holy tool. The Chafetz Chaim says, if you would understand how many mitzvahs you can do with your mouth, when you say a pasuk, a word, every word is a mitzvah. Every letter is a mitzvah. Do you know what you can do with your mouth? So instead of this, you using the power of speech, talking, I'm not talking about talking not nicely, this is even worse. Now, when you see films, especially American films, like it's sometimes you have to put your something on your ears. And you know, people are used to it.
And we are told, this is the times today. This is life.
So that's why we learn the Parsha, to straighten us, to understand and realize, yes, we have a power, an unbelievable power. This power of speech, we should look after it. We should be careful with this power, how we use it. So this is one of the most important things when we talk about our parsha. Then there is another episode I want to talk about, and this episode is also something to connect what is important and what is not so important. And this, unfortunately, when we get, now after 40 years going in the desert, we're approaching Eretz Israel again, and suddenly two tribes come to Moshe and tell him, "Vayavohu bnei Gad ubnei Reuven, Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven, come to Moshe, and tell him, and Elazar Kohen, when you see Adain, all the top people, ויאמרו אם מצאנו חן בעיניך ייתן את הארץ הזאת לעבדיך לאחוזה. They want to stay here in the other side of Jordan, עבר הירדן. They don't want to go in with all Am Yisrael. Now, the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu thinks, says, Ribono Shel Olam, history comes back. When we went to go into Eretz Yisrael, what happened? The Meraglim went in and told us that we cannot go in. And now we have the same story. But, and then he's telling them. ויום משה לבני גד ובני ראובן, אחיכם יבואו למלחמה, your brother will go on war and you will sit here? ולמה תניעו את לבנה? Why do you doing those things? It's going to affect Am Israel going into Eretz Israel, the land that God gave us. כה עשו אבותיכם, the same thing your fathers did, the same ancestor, they did the same thing. Instead of going to Eretz Israel, what did they do? Started crying, we don't want to go in. And we had all this problem then. 40 years going on in the desert and didn't learn the lesson.
The way to Canada and still.
Yes. And you know, the thing is, which is unbelievable, is I'm not going to read everything here, but to get to the point, is let's think. 40 years ago, the excuse of the Meraglim was that we are holy. And we live in the desert with no concern about parnosa. We get water from God, food from God. Everything is beautiful. It's me'en olam haba. It's like we sit and we are, let's say, 90% spiritual. So why should we go into Eretz Israel to become materialistic, to start working and looking for parnosa? This is, instead of learning Torah, we will look for parnosa. It's not, and now. They didn't understand that that's what you have to do. You have to learn Torah in order to do something with it in life. Because otherwise, it's not only learning, it's also doing. And now the problem is opposite. This is not holiness matter always. You know why they want to sit in the side of the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan? You know why? Mikne Rav. They have a lot of cattle. In other words, this argument is not anymore on being holiness. This argument is about money, about possessions. This is, let's say, instead of elevating themselves, this is even worse. Because those Meraglim had an excuse. You know, we want to be close to God. So this is the reason we don't want to go to Eretz Israel, because then we're going to be affected with all the materialistic things and the desires to do this and parnosa and that. So we're going to be affected and we're going maybe to lower our spiritual level. Here, this is not spiritual matter anymore. This is really the lowest level you can. You're arguing about what? About money? About possession? And nevertheless, you know what's happening is, what do they say? They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, ויקשו אליו ויאמרו, גדרות צאן נבנה למקננו פה, וערים לטפינו, ואנחנו נחלץ חושים לפני בני ישראל. We're going to build here, let's, I don't know how to say, גדרות צאן, places for the cattle, and homes for our children and women. And we will go first to fight on the other side, like in Eretz Israel, before everybody. Now look at the order. What do they put first? The animal. Then they put the women and the children. Is this normal?
No.
And unfortunately, it is normal, but that's not the way it should be. What, you put life after money? First of all, it's life. And then you talk about money. I never forget, it was in Ranana years ago, there was this guy, a diamond dealer. And he came home, people knew that he came home, somebody talked about it, and they came and they mugged him. And he fought with a robber, and they killed him. You know, instead of giving them the diamonds and let them go, he fought. That's sometimes, this is some stupid calculation. And here they do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them afterwards, are you stupid? You build home to your people, and then you will build home for the cattle. As he said them later on, could be.
What about human instinct?
Human instinct is something that you have to control. That's exactly the point. It's very important. It's a very important point. You see, people have a lot of excuses in life. It's the way I'm built. What do you mean? God gave me this talent. God made me this power. God made me clever. God made me stingy. God made me wanting things. Yes, of course. God made me. So what?
Yeah, I'm thinking of a situation.
Instinct is exactly what makes the difference between us
and animal.
Exactly the point.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. I was just thinking about this man who was robbed and killed. He should have given the gun.
Yes.
On the spur of the moment, you don't think logically. Afterwards, you're clever. After the fact.
But that's But that's exactly the point. You see, in what happened here in with the Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven was very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu is building three places for those who kill by mistake that they can run there. Arei Miklat. Now we're talking about 2.5 tribes have 3 towns. And all the others have also how many?
Three.
For all Am Israel, for all the tribes, you have 3. And for those 2.5, you have also 3. What's the reason? Why do you need so many for 2.5 tribes? So one of the Gemara says, Begilad nafishi rotzchim. There are a lot of murderers in Gilad. Gilad is in the other side of the Jordan. They don't talk about murderers that just kill intentionally, but they talk about murders that kill by mistake. Beshogeg. Now, why are there more murderers in the other side of the Jordan Valley than there are in our side? Why?
Because you can murder with your tongue, you can murder...
Yeah, no, but the question is why? What if the money is the most important thing in life? In other words, life is not so important. For example, when you see electricity and a baby comes close to the electricity, what do?
I'm going to take the child.
Because if you don't do it,
you
can get electrified. And this is exactly the point. If you know something is very dangerous, you are careful. You won't see somebody crossing the road when cars coming. He can cross the road when there is a red light, which is also not wrong, very wrong. But he can do this because he sees there's no cars. But when he will see the cars coming, will he cross the road?
No. He should
have. Not by mistake? Will he cross the road when you see the cars coming up? You won't do a mistake like this. You can do a mistake when you don't see the cars. When the danger is not live, you're obvious. You can do a mistake. But when it's obvious, you don't do a mistake. That's, by the way, the reason that somebody who killed by mistake has to go to this special town. Because otherwise, if he did it by mistake, why don't you release him? Let him go. He didn't do it intentionally. But the minute you do something like this, it's like, although I try to explain this issue about what is the difference between somebody who kills somebody intentionally and somebody who kills by mistake. Is it very clear? It's not so simple. For example, if I go on a chuzah with my car on 100 kilometers an hour and I kill somebody, is this a mistake?
No, it's careless. It's a chutzpah to drive too fast.
This is mezid. This is mezid. This is intentionally, because you know you cannot go at a speed like this in town. If you would have gone instead of 50, 60, I can understand. But going 100?
It's mechugeg.
This is mezid. This guy is going to be killed. He cannot go to Ir Miklat, because this is not unintentionally. This is intentionally. Now, if somebody goes on the right limit of speed in town. For example, a certain place, 50. And by accident, somebody jumps to the road and he killed him. This is unintentionally. Now, if this guy goes on 20 and somebody crosses the road and is killed, what do you think now this is?
Then the other one's guilty, the one who crossed the road.
This is honest. This guy is being released. He didn't do anything. Because he went in town more careful than careful can be. And the guy, he jumped on the car. What can you do? So in other words, there is nothing to blame this guy. This is not killing somebody unintentionally. This is not killing nobody. This is honest. This is something that you don't have anything to do with it. Now we understand the difference. So in other words, when we talk about in the Gilad, there were more murderers than any other place, the reason is because for them, life was less important than their possessions. So in other words, when you walk in the street, the main issue was how rich I am, how much money I have, how many houses I have, how many cars. And then, second, well, life itself. That's why, if it's not so, that's why, but, unfortunately, we have so many accidents. Because people have other, way of looking at things. Instead of putting life on top of everything, they put the car on top of everything, or my will on top of everything, or I have to get to the meeting on time, or I have to get to the supermarket on time. They put all the wrong things on top. And that's exactly the lesson here. When they put the cattle before life, this what years later affected the society. And they needed three places for their own because that's the way they raised up their children. The most important thing in life is
possessions.
Unfortunately. You see, again, we're not talking about Gad and Reuven and everything. We're talking about ourselves. We have to put the right thing in ourselves. We have to know what is right and what is wrong, what is important and what is less important. And definitely, the power of speech that we got is very important. And we should use it in a good way, in a holy way. And then put life on top of everything. And not, chas v'shalom, like Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, put cattle before life.
Shkoyach. Thank you. I'm always so sorry when the